Welcome back to the Blessed Business Podcast, where we empower Christian business leaders to launch and grow blessed businesses so together we can advance the kingdom of God. If you haven't already, subscribe to the podcast and check out the online courses and resources at www.theblessedbusiness.com. That's www.theblessedbusiness.com. And if you're looking for ways to increase your income, check out the Income Accelerator course now available at theblessedbusiness.com/income. Now let's dive into today's episode. Well, Hunter Haley here, back with the one, the only, Tony Pimpo and the Blessed Business Podcast. This is the A-Team, right? Because, I mean, technically your name is not Tony, it's Anthony.
Exactly.
So that would put you on the A-Team.
In that case, I could definitely be on the A-Team, for sure.
I think so, yeah. I'm not, but you are.
And I would say I'm the one, the only Tony Pimpo, the second.
This is a good point. This is a good point. I always forget about that, but that is a good point. Well, we're off to a great start today, but we are going to continue our conversation around principles of success. And today we're going to tackle the concept of embracing growth. And this builds off of our last conversation around resilience.
Yep.
So we talked about responsibility, we talked about resilience. Now we're talking about embracing growth. And we're going to talk about growth from an individual perspective, but also organizationally as a business or an organization. There's growth is a natural byproduct of doing things well.
Right.
The kingdom of God is growing and expanding, right? And as Christian business leaders and entrepreneurs, business owners, what we're doing should be growing. We want our finances to grow and not just on the negative side, right?
Yeah.
Not just the debt column, right? But we want to grow and expand and to do things well. And to do that, we have to embrace growth. And I wanted to open with this question. And this is kind of a punchy question. But the question is God's plan for your life bigger than your commitment to growth?
Let that sink in.
Well, I can honestly say that if you'd have took me back 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and you had sat down Hunter Haley and said, hey, this is the things that God has in store for you that you're going to be doing, I was not in a position to be able to do any of that back then.
Yeah.
But thank God I had leaders and mentors and the Spirit
of
God leading me.
More.
Yes, guiding me to where I started to commit to growth. I wasn't used to committed to growth in the past. But I hit a stage, and really, Pastor Caleb Adams, our pastor, was the one who really triggered this in me. I hit a stage in my life. I was coming through college. I was a young man. I was trying to find direction for my life, and the culture, the environment of our church, and him specifically mentoring me, as well as some other business mentors I had, challenged me. And that challenge put me on a path to commitment to growth. And ever since then, I've been committed to growing. And now I feel like I'm more committed than ever. You can just check my scale at home to knock teeth. I'm committed to growth in all areas.
Different types of growth, right?
Wait a second.
Are you twice the man you used to be?
I'm getting there. No. I'm actually trying to retract growth in that area. I'm trying to grow my health, and that means detracting some of my weight. But anyway, but the point of this is, you know, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord. "They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." So God has a future for each and every one. So we know that this is predominantly spiritually speaking, right? But as we know, and we've discussed many times on the podcast, there's a spiritual and a natural application to the things of God.
Yes.
And so he has a both in this world and the world to come, he has a future for us. But we have to be committed to growing into that.
Mm-hmm.
When you first get saved, then you have to be committed to growing in the knowledge of Christ, right? You have to be committed to growing in your relationship with Jesus. You have to be committed to learning about the Word of God.
Yeah.
And so the same thing in business. If you're going to launch a business, you're going to have to grow as a person. I remember my business mentor told me, he had a very successful company. One of my business mentors, he had his business mentor sit down with him, and he said, do you like the team? Do you like your company? He's like, yes. He said, but I'm trying to like go to 10x this or 100x this. And he said, well, the people that are here now will not be the people that will be here then. And he's like, well, what do you mean? He said, unless they grow,
they have to grow.
They won't be here.
Yeah, because, and grow with it.
Because the type of people it takes and the type of leader you are as a business owner or in your career, what it takes to get where you are right now is not what it takes to go to the next level. You have to grow. He even pointed to him and said, you as the business owner, you're going
to
be gone.
Well, and the thing is, leaders have to reinvent themselves in order to be able to grow alongside their organization, right? Mm-hmm. Because I've heard Pastor actually talk about this. Moses, he led the children of Israel in different stages of growth, right? Mm-hmm. They were in Egypt as a enslaved people, and then they moved into the wilderness, right? And so through that, he had to constantly be growing in his response and in his vision, etc. Mm-hmm. So if you don't grow, you're going to get left behind, yes. Right? And so I think growth is something that we want to prepare for. And I think God's plans are always bigger than ours, right? But making sure that our plans are big, right, is going to be a big part of whether we can even step into the things that he has.
I heard it described this way, and I think it was Pastor who first introduced me to this concept of creating a faith void.
Mm.
Okay. And what a faith void is looking at where you are right now and your current status and what you're doing, and then looking at through the eyes and the vision of faith, okay, this is where God is calling us to. Okay?
Right.
We're running 50 people right now in our church, but we're called to run 500 people, right? And by setting that as the vision, you create this faith void. Or I'm currently making $50,000 a year, and God wants me to make $500,000 a year so that I can give more and do more, right? For the kingdom of God. Or whatever that looks like. I want to grow my team from, you know, nobody to 5 people in the next 6 months or a year or whatever. Whatever that is, when you set the vision, it creates a faith void that says, I'm not there yet. And it's enough of a stretch that it requires faith to believe that it's possible. And it's going to take God doing it. But the beauty of it is you just start from where you're at and you start walking towards that in faith that God is on the other side walking back towards you and is going to bridge the gap.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have to give him channels in which he can flow through. You know, even in scripture, the woman that was told that she had to go get the vessels to fill, right? The size of that blessing was determined by how many vessels were able to be in the house, right?
Right.
It was a miracle. It's a miraculous thing, but it also involved her going and increasing the capacity of what she had in her house, right?
Yes.
And so I think some of the miracles that God wants to do are going to be directly dependent on whether we go and get increased capacity.
And that's why today's topic, embracing growth, is so important. And because we didn't just say growth, we said embracing growth.
Right.
Growth, if you're going to go anywhere in life, growth is necessary. And if it's necessary, it means that growth requires change. And so if you're going to embrace this, you're going to have to embrace change as well.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
And that's a tough one. So some of the points that we have to talk about kind of relate back to that. But one of the first things principles we wanted to kind of talk about is the concept of keep the main thing the main thing. And in seasons of growth, it's important to make sure that what's driving you is your purpose, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And in business, a lot of times we talk about the purpose of business is profitability, okay? Let's take the kind of step back from the spiritual aspect of it. But if I have a company and we're trying to grow, and we say, okay, we're in a real estate business, We have a software company. We have a number of different things that we do, but we want to grow, okay? So we're just going to push for growth no matter what. And so we start taking on new things. We're trying to grow revenue, so we're going to take on this project or this type of client or this. When really, if we look at it, you know, profitability is what we were shooting for. So we may grow the numbers, but we really didn't grow the profitability very much. We're doing more volume, but we're, you know, at the end of the day, we're not making more, mm-hmm. right? And a lot of organizations get into that trap. They just get bloated where they're doing a lot of things and they're supporting a lot of dead weight.
Yes.
Being active, a lot of busyness, but busyness does not equate to business.
Right. Yeah. And this can happen with many larger companies where there was a focus on market share.
Mm-hmm.
I remember years ago in the automotive industry, that was like a big thing that the American automakers were focused on, like for instance, General Motors. But what is market share if you don't have profitability?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I get it means like if your market share is shrinking, for instance, that's obviously concerning. But if your goal is to make money mm-hmm. and yet you have an increasing market share, but you're making less, like how does that serve your goal in the
revenue's
end?
Up, but bottom line revenue, right, you know, exactly. is profitability is actually down. What did you accomplish?
So technically you could be growing market share, but actually moving backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I think knowing which metrics are important is also something that is going to help you when you're making decisions.
Well, and what we're alluding to is the fact that not all growth is good growth.
Right.
And so if you push for growth, that's good, but you have to keep the main thing the main thing. And especially in our personal lives, we have to anchor everything in the values that we have that and align it.
Make sure it reflects, our actions reflect that.
Yes, and as an alignment with God's mission and calling for our life and work. And let's go back to like, let's say someone's working a job and they're like, well, I want to grow and advance in my career. And the opportunity comes for them to take a new position, but I'm sorry, you're going to have to work on Sundays and Wednesdays, the one, you know, the 2 days a week that you're going to, that you go to church, or you're going to have to travel
yep.
over the weekend, every other weekend.
Right.
Well, for a limited time, I mean, the ox does get in the ditch occasionally, right? There may be a time where you have to work overtime or there's an emergency or whatever, even as a business owner that happens, right? But if like you're taking an opportunity to quote unquote grow,
that's structurally keeping you out of what is most important.
Yes. It's not keeping the main thing the main
no.
thing. And God's mm-hmm. not going to bless that. You're like, oh, I've been praying for this opportunity to grow, or I've been praying that God would bless my business, and here's this new contract, but it's going to send me to this, you know, this place over here. I'm going to be working for 7 months out of the year in a place that doesn't have a good church.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, well, that's not keeping the main thing the main
no.
thing.
Yeah, that's an opportunity, but not all opportunities are created equal. And you might grow your finances temporarily, but ultimately you're probably gonna start losing some of the blessing.
Yes.
That comes with that.
And what it sounds like to me is that this is a filter.
Yes. You have to filter your growth opportunities
yes.
so that you have good growth. The Bible says that the blessings of the Lord maketh rich.
And he
but
adds
it says
no sorrow with it.
And he adds no sorrow with it. But you can go get rich. But you can also accumulate sorrow with it if it wasn't from the blessings
right.
of God.
Right, you want it God's way.
And a lot of people will try to pin an opportunity, and to especially one to make money, as, man, this is the blessings of God.
Yeah.
Well, you always filter opportunity and financial increase through the lens of the Bible and the Word. And if it is counteracting what the Word says and your primary focus, then that's not good growth.
Mm-mm.
That's not the blessings of God. That's maybe a test.
Right.
Trying to test you to see. It was like, oh, I prayed for a blessing and oh, yeah, I've got all the things now. But all of a sudden, your life starts deteriorating. I knew a story of a guy and they had he was about to go under. He had a roofing company or contracting company. He was about to go under. And he was praying, you know, God, I've been a committed giver. I want to do things for the kingdom of God. Long story short, he was about to call the bankruptcy attorney and closed down his business and everything. And instead, it was a huge government contract that called, and it ended up being, a billion or multi-billion dollar contract.
Wow.
But, and this sounds like an answer to prayer, right? It's a great mm-hmm. thing. But because he didn't keep the main thing, he grew rapidly. But before it was all said and done, he ended up committing adultery with his business partner's wife, destroying that relationship, one of his best friends.
So sad, yeah.
And walking away from God. And ended up losing the business too. So it's like, in the end, he got nothing. So if you don't ground your growth in principles and filter these, growth will destroy you.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to embrace growth to grow, but you have to do it the right way.
Absolutely.
So, and one of the things we can do when it comes to growth is to constantly learn. But it can be challenging to grow and expand our minds and our thinking. But what are some ways we can do that, Tony?
One of the ways we could do that is to make defined times and spaces where we do dedicate ourselves to learning. So rather than making it an afterthought, putting learning on the calendar is a way that we can intentionally grow. Mm. So that could manifest itself in different ways. It could be through your reading, the books that you read, carefully chosen to help you to grow, right? Investing in yourself through courses and going to events, being around people that have the mindset that you're looking to have. I think there's some different ways that you can apply that. For some people, it may be education in a formalized setting. It could be traveling to a different state, different country to learn techniques for your business. Sure. It could be, there's so many different ways.
Expose yourself to new ideas and ways of doing things.
Kind of get outside of the routine and what you do normally, I think can be a huge driver for learning, because if you invest in your best asset, which is you,
in your mind.
In your mind, exactly. And when it comes to your business, right, you need to make sure that you're growing, like we talked about earlier. But we can sometimes say we need to grow, but if we don't actually put it on the calendar, if we don't, you know, make that plan, go to that event, take that class, read that book, et cetera, well, doesn't
happen. And like you're saying, if you don't keep learning on the calendar, if you don't mark it down, it's not going to happen.
Yeah.
If you're not intentional. Well, I need to study about this, or I need to learn about this, or I need to expand in this. We talk about this in the Income Accelerator course about assessing yourself, you know, and figuring out what skills are lacking or what you do have, and then building on that.
Yeah.
Figure out what you need, your different forms of leverage. There's a lot of different things we talk about in that course, but you need to be able to assess that and then develop that and work from where you are going forward so that you can then market that and, you know, get an increase, a raise, you know, et cetera.
I think high level too, that's things like events, you know, education, et cetera. But also I think looking at how you can incorporate learning day to day, you know, maybe it's listening to an audio book when you drive.
Or a podcast.
Exactly. You're already committed to it, right? Because you're listening to this. But I think just looking at your schedule and saying, okay, well, maybe I'm not going to sit down and listen to an audiobook for 2 hours today. I mean, that's just not going to happen. But I can, you know, do it while I'm driving across town and listen to it for 15 minutes and maybe 15 minutes on the way back, right? Well, that's 30 minutes that maybe was not going to be productive before, right? Sure. So I think looking for ways to do that wherever you can is going to be important.
That's good. You know, even the Bible says in Proverbs, I think it's chapter 1, maybe verse 5, it says, a wise man will hear and increase learning.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're a wise person, right, then you're going to increase your learning. You're going to hear, you're going to listen. I think that's an argument for podcasts and audiobooks, right?
There you go.
Right there.
Well, there's another scripture. We didn't write it down, but it's the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. That's growth, right? Like sometimes that. There's reproof, there's correction, there's things in life that are, and I know that sounds so big, but it can be small too. It depends where your focus is, right? Just look for the areas where you can learn and take that into account, and you'll be wise and you'll grow.
I've seen it done this way before. If you draw like a circle, like a wheel, almost like a circle, mm-hmm. but then you start dividing that into different categories, whether it's different skills, or you could do this with like your life of like spiritual, you know, financial, relational, whatever it is. And then you kind of like subtract, do it with a pencil or something, and then subtract away the areas that are struggling, you know, and then the areas that are doing really good, you know, come all the way out to the top. And if you, it's a good way to kind of visualize. It's hard to like describe this visually, but if you have like gaps where some things are closer to the inner circle, right? Because you haven't really developed, you know, this particular skill set, or you haven't developed in that area in your life yet, that leaves a gap between that and the next thing. So you may be really good at hobbies and you may be really good at making money, but in between is your relationship with God, and like you're really struggling. So,
yeah.
Well, and what, anyway, when you do this, it looks like, I think it's called the Wheel of Life. You can probably look at, there's a lot of different versions of this online. And when you make this, take this assessment, you can say, oh, I'm a well-rounded person. This is going to be a pretty smooth thing. Or you can look at that. And most people, including myself, when I look at that, I'm like, well, I'm in for a bumpy ride, because there's all these gaps and holes and stuff like that. It's like, don't, you know, every time it rolls over, I'm real smooth on, you know, these couple categories, but then, man, when I hit this, mm-hmm. it gets bumpy.
And that can help you know where to focus your learning, right? Yes,
and you can focus on that, because it's not all just focusing on reading the latest business book,
yeah,
or whatever it is. Sometimes it may be like, hey, look, my business is thriving, but my marriage is suffering, right?
Character.
And so it's like, okay, well, what can I do to improve that? Or like my character, yeah, I've got all these other things, but like I've got these, I need to work on this.
Yes.
And so assessing that and keeping learning on the counter is important.
Yep.
And this kind of ties into another point we had kind of wrote down, kind of talking through this session and kind of the podcast we wanted to talk about today, and that is establish systems of accountability. What does it mean to establish a system of accountability?
So we can think of accountability sometimes purely in the relational aspect of it, right?
Or personal, yeah, accountability.
Which, yeah, is important, of course. But I think in the context we're talking about today, having metrics that you are judging yourself on. Mm-hmm. So that could be your goals, that could be your numbers as a business, mm-hmm. right? Being able to have that information in front of you is a form of accountability, right? And it's for you, it's for others, it's for, you know, your team, et cetera. That, I mean, it can go all different ways, right? But if you don't have systems of accountability in place where you are tracking what you're doing, you're tracking your learning, you're tracking your business metrics, et cetera, you could be at a place where you don't really know if you're growing even. Mm-hmm. How do I know if I'm not tracking anything?
That's
right.
Good.
So I think establishing baselines, you know,
yeah,
what is the baseline in this area of life?
And that leads
or
into
business.
What we talked about last time, celebrating small wins, you know, creates momentum. But if you don't have a system for accountability and tracking, you don't know when you won.
Right.
Right. It's like we need to grow. And you can do that for 50 years and then, yep, wake up one day and realize, yeah, I have a big company, but I always...
We were winning
the whole time. I felt, yes, like I was running behind.
Yes.
And how defeating is that?
Yeah, absolutely. And because it can all live in unanswered
ambiguous
questions.
Like sense,
yes,
of like, I'm going somewhere, but I don't know how to measure it.
Yeah.
You know, even the Bible talks about also, you know, if you go to build a tower,
counting the cost. Right.
Right. And so, like, if you count the cost, you're like, man, I'm good. Or another scripture talks about, you know, if, you know, you're going to sit down and evaluate if your 10,000 warriors can go against the 20,000.
Yes.
Right. Or there's something to be said for, you know, sort of setting some metrics of success,
mm-hmm,
and then holding yourself accountable, your team accountable to that,
yeah,
whether you're a leader in business or whether you're an entrepreneur or you own your own business, and set that. And,
yeah,
say, okay, we want to grow sales, but we want to grow by what? We want to grow by X number of dollars.
Well, it's
amount.
Like at the beginning of the year, even for Countrywood, we wrote out a document that,
yes,
we outlined our 2025 goals. We can look at that at the end of this year or the beginning, yes, of next year, and we can tell if we had a successful year or not.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we'll do other things in this year too. Of course, we probably,
sure,
will.
We have.
But, and we have already, right? And we are going to do more. We already talked about some. But those are all going to be good things. But if we did those things at the expense of what we put in that document, right, mm-hmm. then we're
not keeping the main thing.
Not keeping the main thing the main thing, right? Those are the main things.
Yes.
So, yes, we hope to do a lot of other things as well. But if we look at that and say we did those things, we'll know 2025 was a successful year.
Well, and I'm a highly visionary person, and I tend to be ADHD and scatterbrained. So Tony is being very kind right now. But I am a visionary, so I can say this. But vision without execution is really hallucination. You know? And so yeah. And I definitely led the team off into a bunch of hallucinations before. It was a great idea, but Tony helps bring some reality and some systems of accountability. But, you know, like I said in the last time, I'm working on, I want to develop a course on growing a business.
Yeah.
And this is one of the things I'm learning right now, especially over the last 6 months or a year, and right now as we're pushing the next 6 months or a year, is huge season of growth for us. But that growth only happens if we create these systems and metrics for measuring our accountability.
Yeah.
And this is part of embracing growth. Because again, embracing growth requires embracing change. Some things have to change. Used to, I just would run and gun and do things all by myself. But now there's a whole team following.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so when it comes to change and to having, you know, these systems and things like that, one thing you have to keep in mind is that you're going to have to pivot at some point. Change is inevitable, and we've kind of alluded to that through this, but this next principle that we would probably kind of wrap up with here for today is pivot with purpose. And this ties yes. right back into the keeping the main thing is that you don't want to just change for change's sake alone.
Right. Yeah.
There's times when you have to make adjustments. Growth requires doing things differently, right? We see this in church growth. We see this in organizational growth. We see this in career growth. What got you here, like we said, is not when it is what's going to take you to the next level. But when you have to pivot or change, you have to do it with a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
When the market shifts or a decision feels a little bit ambiguous or gray, return to your purpose and figure out what's your why.
Yes.
What is your mission? What are your goals? What are those metrics of accountability, those systems of accountability? Those are the guardrails that keep you on the right track. And yeah. you have to set that, because otherwise, if you're just out bouncing around pursuing growth, growing as a business, growing my career, growing whatever, you can grow yourself into a problem
yeah.
situation mm-hmm. really fast. And then you have to retract a lot of that and start over, and it's much more painful. You know, I think of different types of plants. Some plants, they will have that gardeners or whoever will kind of craft it around like a lattice or something like that, and it becomes this beautiful plant, right? But then others, you know, I think of like kudzu or certain weeds or things like that. Man, it just blows out every which direction.
Mm-hmm.
Every which way, as someone told us recently, and that's growth, but that's not the type of growth we're generally looking for.
Mm-mm.
We want focused, intentional growth that is on purpose and on mission, advancing us towards God's will for our life. Like I opened the question with, you know, God has a plan for us, but is our commitment to growth less than his, is it smaller than his vision and commitment to the plan that he has for us?
Yeah. I think that plan, that vision is the North Star, mm-hmm. right? And that's where you can make your decisions based on that, right? Yes. You can make your personal decisions based on that. You can make your business decisions based on that. Looking at that, you know, plan that he has for you is really going to help you when you're making these decisions, because you don't want to just change for change sake, right?
You just got bored. That's not a good reason to change.
Like I went to a restaurant years ago and I loved their recipe. Like they had a really, really good baked pasta, and like I would tell people about it from out of town, and I would go there when I was in town, and you show up and they got a new chef and the chef just decides to change the recipe. And it's like, why it was so good the way it was, you know, and what they changed it to wasn't as good as what it was before. It's like, if you're going to change, make it better. Like, use a higher quality pasta, or, yes, you know what I mean? Don't just change for change's sake. Right.
Yes.
Or like, maybe just leave it alone, but add something new to the menu. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, you need to be changing. You can't stay static.
Yes.
But change in the right ways, and change with a purpose. Like, mm-hmm, changing that recipe just to change it was not purpose driven.
It wasn't growth. It was just change.
That's it right there.
That's where we need our little,
there you go,
our little sound pad where with, yep, the cha-ching. That's money, that's right, true, there, and right there.
That's good. That's the take home, folks.
That's the take home, right? Change does not equate
to growth.
So you have to be intentional about it.
Yeah.
Well, sounds good. Well, thank you again, Tony, for sitting down and having these conversations. Man, this has helped me. Hopefully it's helped somebody else as well.
Yeah. It makes two of us.
This concludes today's episode, and we trust you were able to walk away with something of value from the content that you heard. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already. Be sure to share this episode with a friend. Sharing is caring, after all. And check out the resources available on our website at theblessedbusiness.com. We have a lot of goodies out there for you, like the Income Accelerator course that teaches you the 5 keys to unlocking your earning potential, or the Launch course, which is a step-by-step guide to help you launch your own business. Thank you for your time and attention today, and until next time, be blessed.